And our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign continues. This is our third and final week for our 18th Stop the Violence campaign. We're dealing with healing from trauma. There's lots of different kind of trauma people need to heal from. And there's lots of different ways in which to do so. We'll be exploring various different aspects of that. Joining me here in the studio is Sherry Witt. How are you doing, Sherry?
Good morning. I'm doing great, Cliff. Thank you.
You are a marriage family therapist. You're also the HSU Psychology Department Clinical Coordinator.
Yes, that's correct. The campus has a community counseling clinic that's available to see both students on the campus as well as people from the community. And we're very lucky because we have the ability to see people on a sliding scale that starts as low as $5. And sometimes can even work with that fee if it's necessary. Our clinic is staffed by counseling graduate students who are very passionate about the work they do and really interested to provide the best services possible. And many universities have struggled to hold on to their clinics, so the fact that we have this as a resource in our community is really wonderful.
No, that truly is. Now, healing from trauma is, of course, what we're talking about for this week. And of course, being a therapist, you're uniquely qualified to deal with that. And it's one of the things that you deal with on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's true. I actually specialize in grief and trauma in my private practice. I consider it a real honor to be able to work with individuals who've been challenged in a really profound way and are looking for opportunities to, I guess you could say, integrate that experience and maybe even have something positive that can come out of it. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way or to minimize people's experiences, but I think that when we have a traumatic experience, sometimes we can feel very broken as a result of that. And yeah. I guess one of the things that I'm hoping to be able to talk about this morning is that it is possible to heal. And I think it's important for people to get that message. And it's one of the reasons I'm so thrilled that you do this campaign.
Thank you. Now, one thing that was talked about, there were many things that were talked about, as a result of trauma, the way that people cope with it is various different ways. People completely shut down, or people become very gregarious, or people completely deny that something even happened, and have no memory of it whatsoever.
Yeah,
it can be completely walled away. There's so many different ways that we, as human beings, creatively cope with trauma, but really the best way is to confront it.
You know, it really is. I really believe in honoring whatever it was that we found to do that allowed us to survive that experience. But I think what many people recognize eventually is that many times whatever strategy we sort of develop to cope starts to work against us.
Sure. I mean, especially if one is self-medicating to,
exactly,
to ease their pain. And that's very common.
Right. Or sometimes people will find that they just shut down emotionally, or they want to have intimacy with another person, but that trust is just not there for them. So usually those are the things that motivate people to want to try to heal from those experiences, is what they're finding is that their ways of coping, which worked for them at one point in that particular circumstance, aren't working for them anymore.
What happens if something's been walled up for a while? I can't speak from personal experience, but I've heard that the trauma tends to start leaking out in various different ways to try to get to the surface somehow.
You know, our bodies and our minds and our hearts take very good care of us. So it's not uncommon for people to have very little or no awareness of some of the traumatic experiences they've had. And somehow we also have some sort of internal ability to recognize when we have enough resources and we have enough support for us to begin to process some of that. And quite often what happens is exactly what you're describing. People may have sensations in their body or floods of feeling or anxiety or depression or other kinds of symptoms where they're not able to recognize exactly where it's coming from, but what starts to happen is this pressure sort of builds up internally. Sometimes people will get pieces of memories, or sometimes they'll find that certain situations or certain topics kind of trigger them and this emotion will come up. And it can start a process of self-discovery, and quite often that's how it happens.
Now, it should be said that, you know, bringing this up is, you know, is not a cakewalk. It's not a walk in the park. I mean, it may be cathartic. It may be good in the long run, but there's going to be some pain you have to deal with.
You know, that's very true. And the way that I sort of make sense out of that and talk with people about it is that quite often in the midst of the experience itself, we weren't able to have the full emotional reaction to what was happening because it wasn't safe to do so. And so we haven't had an opportunity for that feeling to be expressed and then to flow through and out of us. And that's really what feelings need to do, because they're just as real as arms and fingers and toes. And we know a lot now about what happens when we hold stress in our bodies, and we know how it impacts just about every system in the body. So
yeah, it physically manifests. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it is painful, and it does oftentimes mean re-experiencing some of those feelings that were a part of the original trauma. But what's different about it, hopefully, is that you're doing that with someone you trust and with someone who's helping you to really pace yourself. And by doing so, when you move through those feelings and find a way to release them, they don't have the same kind of intensity and presence in your life.
Now, also, you know, aside from repressing feelings that may have been painful, people also, unfortunately, especially if they were in a situation where, you know, they were essentially brainwashed into thinking that they were at fault, that it was all their problem, that everything that happened to them was their issue. At that point, you know, they haven't experienced the real feelings at all. What they felt is something that was sort of imposed on them.
Absolutely. And I think that damage to a person's ability to feel good about who they are is one of the most negative impacts of trauma. And it's an interesting coping mechanism that we have. It's almost as though this horrific thing is happening to us. And in order to feel some level of control over that experience, it's almost like a part of us needs to believe, if I could just figure out the right formula, I can make this stop. And so it comes from this healthy place of needing to feel like we have some control over something that's so far outside of our control. But unfortunately, what comes along with that is this belief of somehow I must be doing something to deserve this or it wouldn't be happening to me. And even when a person intellectually understands that that's not true anymore and they intellectually know that in their healing process, it can take the heart a very long time to catch up, because it's very hard for us to hold on to and really take in on a deep level that there are things out in the world that can happen that are so far outside of our ability to control them.
One thing that all the different topics we've dealt with have in common, often have a reaction from people outside of them saying, why didn't you get out of this situation? Like the sexual exploitation of children and youth. You know, why didn't you leave if you had the opportunity? Or a domestic violence situation, why would you put up with this? Why would you stay in this situation? Or even in sexual assault in the military, why would you let this continue? Why wouldn't you talk to the superiors? There is, you know, for lack of a better term, a type of brainwashing that takes place.
You know, that's actually a very useful term. because it is very much like a brainwashing process, in the sense that what begins to happen over time is that individual who's being traumatized, particularly if it's not an isolated event and it's happening more than once, becomes so focused on trying to anticipate what their perpetrator is needing or wanting from them, and then trying to somehow manage all of that so that they don't get re-traumatized. And so what starts to happen is that there isn't a lot of looking internally to how am I feeling in the midst of all of this. It becomes very survival-oriented and very other-oriented. And quite often, people who are in those kinds of traumatic situations have made some kind of effort to get out or to get help, and quite often have not experienced a lot of support. And as a result, the willingness to ask again can fade. And there can start to believe this, there can start to be this belief that it's really not possible.
It becomes a survival technique.
Exactly.
To cooperate, go along with, and become complicit.
And we all have a certain capacity and a certain amount of emotional energy. And if we're spending that capacity and emotional energy just trying to keep our head above water, we're not thinking about tomorrow or the next day or the day after that. We're thinking about the next 5 minutes and how can I survive this next 5 minutes.
So how does the healing begin, really?
My personal belief about that is it begins on one level very simply, in the sense that all of us need at least one person that we feel some sort of genuine connection with, where we can confide in them and tell our story, as it were, and feel that we will not be judged and will be listened to. And for people who are experiencing trauma or have experienced trauma, that's really a first step, is to look around and see if there's anybody like that in your circle of support. And that can be a neighbor, that can be a classroom teacher, that can be somebody in your faith community, it can be someone like me, a therapist, it can be almost anyone. But first and foremost, we need to be able to speak our reality out loud.
Isn't it kind of hard, though, to find someone to trust if you've been in a situation where really no one's trustworthy for a long time?
Well, Cliff, you certainly got right to the heart of the matter. You know, trust is the big word, and it is excruciating to try to dredge up a willingness to trust when everything you've experienced has taught you that trusting people makes you vulnerable and gets you hurt. So typically, what I try to invite people that I'm working with to do is to make little tiny steps and to literally test people. Tell them a little bit about yourself. Tell them a little bit about your life. See if they can keep a confidence. See if they have a willingness to listen without trying to tell you what to do and without making judgments about your experience. And then test a little bit more and a little bit more. Because quite often for any of us who've had traumatic experiences, there tends to be this all or nothing urge. Either I don't tell my story at all, or I want to tell it all in one big blurb. And neither one of those really serves our purposes. We need to really try to figure out who is trustworthy. And that's a big word.
So I want you to speak to friends of someone who's experienced trauma. Sometimes friends, while meaning well, can be actually exacerbating the problem, pushing too hard. First off, what would you say to a friend who has experienced trauma? What advice would you give them?
I think the first piece of advice that I would give them is, to the degree that they can, really resist the temptation to give advice. Because, yeah, you know, I think what happens is our own feelings of helplessness and powerlessness in listening to some of these stories really takes a hold of us. And so our need is to want to do something and to want to help. And that even happens to us as professionals. It's very tempting to want to have that answer or that solution. But I think what people need the opportunity to discover is they have their own internal wisdom and their own answers. And what they need to connect with that is the opportunity to speak out loud to someone who's going to listen to them and reflect back what they're hearing in a non-judgmental kind of way and really help them to explore options. So I think as friends and concerned people, our role is to be asking questions, to really be reinforcing for someone that that it can be better and that we are a support and would like to help however it is that we can do that, and then to be a sounding board.
So now, speaking to people who have experienced trauma, who may be listening to this right now, not really knowing what to do next, what would you say to them?
I think that the first step is to forgive ourselves. Because I think quite often those voices outside of us that accuse us of somehow being complicit in the sense that we're not getting out of difficult circumstances or whatever, start to be the voices that live inside of us, and we have this temptation to judge ourselves for being less than we think we should as people. So I think the first step is to really realize that life is complicated and none of us has any magic answers. So we start where we are. We come up with what we think is the best decision. We try it out. We learn from that experience and we keep going. So if we find ourselves in a traumatic circumstance, it's not because we deserve it. It's not because we created it for ourselves. It's not because it was the universe's plan for us. It's because that's where life has brought us for whatever reason. And we don't have to stay there. And then the next step can be finding one of those safe people or reaching out to some of the agencies we have. And we have some great resources in this community. We have the Community Counseling Clinic on campus. We have Humboldt Family Service Center that also has a very low-cost sliding scale. We have many, many private mental health providers that have sliding scales if finances are an issue. For the Native American, American Indian community, there's United Indian Health Services, and there's tribal TANF programs, and there's Two Feathers. So we have a lot of resources. And I would really encourage people to reach out to one of those resources and find out what's available.
Absolutely. North Coast Rape Crisis Team, of course, another good one as well.
Absolutely. Humboldt Domestic Violence Services.
Yep. WISH and Southern Humboldt, a lot of good services. As a matter of fact, if you're listening and you have access to the web, if you go to khum.com and you click on the Stop the Violence logo on khum.com, at the top of the page, you'll find an interactive resource, and you just click on that. It's just text. There's some red text that says interactive guide, and basically it'll ask you a series of questions and point you in the right direction to find a resource that is right for you. And it's a good thing. And
Cliff, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Is that something that stays there, or yeah. Is that just there for this campaign?
It's been there for the past several years.
Wonderful.
It's there all the time. In fact, on that page, you will find all the conversations from this campaign and from the past two as well that are available to be listened to or downloaded and listened to later. So they're all there.
That is a wonderful resource.
Yeah, it's really, really terrific because there really are a lot of wonderful resources out here. And the first step is, I guess, to try and seek some relief.
Absolutely. And not to give up. You know, sometimes what happens is we start down that path and then for whatever reason, maybe we get caught up in circumstances again, or maybe we just are not able to go further at that point in time. And again, the temptation is to judge ourselves. And I think we just put that aside and recognize that for most of us, change is not a linear process. I don't just get up in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to change my life now. And it's changed by 5 o'clock that evening.
Right.
Change is one of those things where it can very much be that two steps forward and one step back. But that doesn't mean that there aren't positive things that are happening. And quite often in healing from trauma, tremendous change can be happening beneath the surface before we're even aware of it. And then it seems like what many people tell me is that they just experience a shift and they start to notice that life is a little brighter. For people who can relate, back in the day, it's sort of the difference between black and white TV and color television. Life wasn't meant to be black and white TV without that joy and that passion and that zest for life. But that's what happens. And suddenly that color can appear again.
Yes.
It really can.
And, of course, trauma comes in all different forms and different times. If you may be in a situation where you're experiencing it now and regularly, and we need to realize that sometimes getting out of a dangerous situation, getting out of a traumatic situation or an abusive situation, that can be a dangerous thing, is getting out of it. And that may not be the best first step. The best first step might be just to ask some advice. Ask for some help.
That's right. We have to start where we are and take little steps. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that I would like to just mention is that we're also talking a lot about perhaps adults who have some ability to make those kinds of changes. But I think we also want to keep in our hearts and remember that we have children in our communities who don't have that kind of volition yet. And so they're next door to us or they're down the street from us. And I was recently having a conversation with someone who was very traumatized as a child. And one of the things that she's finding most challenging right now is she said, how could people not know? How could they not notice that nobody came to my house? How could they not hear what was happening in my house? And why didn't anybody do something? Why didn't anyone call someone? Or why didn't anyone talk to me? I feel like I was invisible. And I still feel like I'm invisible. And, you know, I'm not advocating that we should become hypervigilant, but I am advocating that we're all a community and a family together, and families watch out for each other. And so if we can spread that compassion around our communities and notice who's struggling and reach out to them in some way, that, I believe, is where the real change happens. Professionals can be helpful. Agencies can be helpful. But where we really address this is in our own house and in our next door neighbor's house and in our faith community gathering and in all those other places where we're encountering each other in our daily lives.
Absolutely. And while we are running out of time, I want to remind folks that you know, we've been talking about trauma. Trauma, as I said, comes in all kinds of different shapes and forms. It could be happening now. It could have happened, you know, 50, 60 years ago. The thing is, once trauma happens, it doesn't just evaporate over time. It may have happened a long time ago, but if you have yet to deal with it, it needs to be dealt with.
That's very true. And I really appreciate you pointing that out. It doesn't go anywhere. And sometimes we don't need to do anything with it, but oftentimes it presents itself. And it sort of brings us full circle back to where we started. If we're noticing that those experiences are getting in the way of having a joyful life now, then it might be worth it to reach out and see what it might be like to let go of some of that.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Well, Sherry, thanks for coming in and
talking
with us. Went fast, didn't it?
It went really fast. Thank you very much.
You bet. Sherry Witt, thank you for talking with us. And our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign will continue tomorrow. We're going to be talking with Oceana Madrone. She is a wonderful artist, and we're going to be talking about the Healing Quilt Project. This is something that's been going on for some time, and it's truly a wonderful, wonderful thing. Anyway, you've got it on KHUM.